Catchphrase. I need the catchphrase.
Hammer time.
Oh, that is sounds that familiar, though.
I think it's taken. How about all Dynamite? Right.
How about, hello, everybody. Thank you.
I think that needs work.
Okay. All right. Next time I'll have something.
Yes. We also need a theme song.
I thought we were just going to ask everybody to imagine Curried Soul in their minds, and that would be our theme song.
You're right.
Because it's better than hearing Curried Soul with your ears.
All right, everybody. Now. Okay.
Oh, that was awesome. Good job, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for whatever reason today for podcast number 30-something. Seven. I know that I messed up the numbers there, and I appreciate nobody drawing it. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Boy,
so
it's a lot of podcasts.
It's a lot of things, I'll tell you. So I hear there's a hurricane coming, not in our paradise of New Hampshire where nothing bad ever happens, basically.
Well, there's the snow that'll kill you.
Yeah, but we don't have to worry about that for a while. Right now it's very pretty, we're running. It was a little froggy. It was lovely. I just wanted to pass on to everybody that if you have heard anybody tell you to put your important papers in your dishwasher and that will save your important papers because it's waterproof and it's bolted in and it's airtight and all these things, this is a lurdy dye. Do you know why?
No.
Well, because your dishwasher is in fact connected to the sewer pipe. That's where all the dirty water goes.
Oh, dear.
And when there's a hurricane, the water doesn't care which way it's supposed to go. It just goes swooshing up all over the place. Sometimes that happens even when there's not a hurricane, as we know in our short, tragic history of dishwashers.
I don't think that's ever happened to our dishwasher.
We've had some backup, goodness knows.
Well, from the dishwasher to the sink, yes.
Yeah, no, we've had...
We didn't have any sewer coming.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily tell you everything, do I?
Well, I don't think our town actually has a sewer. It's a little New England town, and I think we might be hooked up to a sewer. We might be paying for sewer.
Yeah.
But I think it just all washes out into the creek.
That would explain a thing or two. It certainly would.
That's why I never pay the damn bill.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to pass that along. Not that I know anything else about hurricanes.
No joke either.
You know, you've been through a hurricane.
I was as a kid. We were in a hurricane in Hawaii. And
you used to go to Hawaii for Thanksgiving, just like pop over to Hawaii for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
How low he has fallen. Look at us now.
It was a different childhood.
Yes, it was.
It was, but. Yeah, and
we used to live off leftover sandwiches that my father would bring home from his Subway delivery job, and that's what we lived on. We were not going. It was like the opposite of Hawaii.
That's the opposite of a lot of things, actually. But the thing I remember most, we ended up going from the hotel to the local high school, which is where the shelter was.
Oh,
I think we would have been better off in the hotel, frankly.
Yeah,
I don't know why we had to go to the
hotel.
We went to the high school. And at one point, the roof fucking comes off, and water is pouring in, and there's a foot of water. And we had brought my father's aunt. Is it aunt or aunt?
I don't know. We grew up saying hung up on that. But
we grew up saying aunt. Anyway,
well,
so we have Aunt Mary with us.
Okay.
And she's a character.
Okay.
I think she lived well into her 80s, almost 90. And the only thing I ever saw her consume were Capri cigarettes and Mai Tais.
Oh. I could make that work.
She was married 8 times.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Twice to the same guy.
Oh my god.
Once to a Buddhist monk too.
Do they get married?
She used to go to Harry.
There's so many things I don't know.
Yeah, she used to go to Hare Krishna meetings because they would give free meals. She would go to Hare Krishna for the free meals.
Yeah, but it was probably all doll and stuff.
And she believed in everything.
Okay.
Like everything.
Sure.
But, so at one point, she's looking for a drink. She needs some gin during the hurricane. And they have these hall monitors at the high school, policing, no, we're going to throw you out if you have alcohol in here. And my father's like, fuck off. Maybe remind me next time. I can tell the story of my father, my grandfather at the Writers Guild meeting and almost getting into a fight with Gene Roddenberry.
Okay, is this the one with the cowboy though?
No.
Okay.
All right,
we'll save that for
another
time. Okay.
But that is true. The cowboy one's true.
I know. So your father said
Oh, I don't know. I forget. I was a kid. I do know that my Aunt Mary did meet a man, and he was...
Wait, in the hurricane shelter?
During, in the hurricane shelter.
Is that where she met her, like, ninth husband?
I believe they were talking about getting engaged.
Oh, my gosh. What was she... What, do you remember her as being, like, that engaging and charming? Or what was the secret exactly?
Well...
I'm not saying I'm looking kids, for another husband. I'm just curious.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Find someone else to take the damn garbage out. I'm not doing it.
Did you actually take the garbage out?
I did not take the garbage out.
Okay.
Weekend.
All right.
I forgot. We were running and then we had to go shopping and then I had to take kids out.
Yeah, we did go shopping, didn't we?
No, you had to go shopping.
That's right.
I had to take kids out and do stuff with stupid kids.
I know.
I was not, look, there was no slacking on my end.
You brought up the garbage.
There was no slacking on my end today.
Do you, listeners, do you hear how I was trapped there?
Is this on the record?
What a terrible, terrible trap. And I walked straight into it because I'm a trusting person. And this is what
well,
I
that's get. Your mistake right there.
All right. So tell your hurricane story.
I think I did.
Oh, gosh. Fine. We'll go on to the next thing.
Fine.
Fine. No, you were talking about your Aunt Mary. All right. You know what? Never mind. Next hurricane thing. Apparently, a bunch of people have been leaving their pets behind when they're evacuating for the hurricane, which, you know, I
understand.
They could go either way.
It's a crappy thing to do.
It's a crappy thing to do, but, you know, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're going somewhere where they don't have pets, whatever. You need a space in the car, whatever. I'm not judging people who are evacuating. I'm really not going to. Well, there's things going around saying, don't leave your pets behind in the hurricane. If they were in your position, they would never leave you. And I'm thinking, you must have a different kind of pet from our kind of pets.
I had a dog who would not have left me.
Yeah.
Teddy.
Teddy was a good boy.
He was a good dog.
He liked to wear the t-shirts. And.
Yeah. But I don't think Boomer would have left us.
Boomer, well... Would that be loyalty or just sheer stupidity, though?
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of...
But holy cow, like, our cats, any cat, they're just waiting to eat your face.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
And the dragon...
the dragon.
He might actually stick around for us.
I'm finding him less and less charming the bigger he gets. Every time he sheds and he comes out... Of his,
yeah.
And he's like a slightly different color, and he's like a little bit. He's got a little bit more attitude each time.
He's definitely going through a surly phase.
It's true. We have a teenage dragon in our house for some reason.
Yeah.
And you know, he never says thank you for the mealworms. He just stomps around, snapping at them. You know, rolling his eyes. Doesn't want to take the garbage out. Oh, anyway, speaking of, I guess that's all I was going to say. Speaking of teenagers, our son has bought himself. He's been working on a farm, and he's babysitting, and he's saved up enough money, and he had so much money he didn't know what to do about it. So he got a used iPhone on a police auction website, as one does.
Propertyroom.com.
Propertyroom.com. They got loose diamonds. They got terrible jewelry. They got all kinds of stuff, And then he had some money left over, so he bought himself an automaton, which is, if you Google it, it's kind of hard to describe. It's a small handheld electronic instrument, and it's shaped basically like a musical note, like an eighth note or something, except the stem of it is just a sort of a I don't know what you would call it. It's some kind of
like touch screen.
Yeah, like a sensor bar, and you can slide your finger up and down or hit it at different places, and it makes a very synthesizer sounding noise, and it's got a switch on the back so you can do different octaves. And the bottom of it, this is the interesting part, the bottom of it, which is the round part, has a mouth and two little eyes, and when you squeeze, and it's made out of rubber, and when you squeeze the sides of it, the mouth opens, and that changes the tone. It changes, like you could make like vibrato, you can make it softer or louder. So it's this stupid little thing singing to you. It's hilarious. It's the stupidest thing. It's like I kind of pressured him to buy it for some reason.
He loves it though.
We got to get him. We're kind of hiding from the kids right now, but next time we'll get him to play. He plays the lullaby from Zelda, da,
yes.
Da 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 da. And what else does he play? He's been working on the Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Theme song, which he used to go around the house meowing for some reason.
When he was much younger.
Meow, meow. Yeah, I would know, oh, Mo's in the house, because he's like 8 years old. Meow, 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 meow. Didn't even know he was doing it. Anyway. So next time, yeah, I'm working on, I wanted for some reason to learn how to play Till There Was You on the automaton. It just, there's something about it that,
oh,
it's a good song for that.
It's got good stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, we just watched Kubo and the Two Strings. Actually, I saw it for the first time. You guys had seen it before.
Yeah.
Came out a while back, so I don't know if we're going to say any spoilers or not. But
it's gorgeous.
It is. Oh, my gosh. A-plus for movie. Visual yeah. effects. Completely, beautifully conceived from start to finish.
And I would say about 90% of the story is beautiful and sad.
It's very sad. It's got very melancholy.
They don't know how to end it.
Well, I agree with you that they don't know how to end it, but I also feel that the end that they ended up with was kind of inevitable based on the way the story was set up, and I really don't see how else they could have ended it.
I guess so. I feel really it was a...
It was not a satisfying ending.
Not a satisfying ending. It was sweet. It's a sweet movie, and it's got a lot going for it, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's almost good. It's almost very good.
Right, yeah. And there were parts, I mean, a lot of the dialogue was pretty snappy and funny, and then there would just be these sort of lulls where it was they just weren't working at it.
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely worth seeing. It was a very, very, very beautiful movie. That's really, I mean, if a movie is pretty, you know, I sat through the piano and I cried and cried because it was just so pretty. But that was a terrible, did you see that?
That's the movie with Harvey Keitel's dog,
okay,
right?
That's, no, first of all, it's just his butt, and that is not, second of all, the part that I was crying about in this.
All right.
But really, I mean, if you're going to have, you know, a visual art form, maybe it should be nice to look at. I don't know. I'm no expert, but
yes.
Anyway, yeah, well, totally worth
movies should
seeing.
Be nice to look at. Mm-hmm. It should be entertaining. And
yeah, I think
anything
so
else.
Too.
Well, people don't seem to understand that anymore.
Yeah, well, it's been, I don't know. I haven't seen, when's the last time we were in the theater? King Kong.
Wonder Woman. So,
oh, that's right. We saw Wonder Woman. That was pretty good, but it was.
You know what? Wonder Woman was a good superhero movie. And
yeah.
Everybody lost their shit over it because it was Wonder Woman.
Right. I know. Yeah. It wasn't, and you know that lady, she was pretty and.
Yeah. No. It's terrific, but it's just a superhero movie.
Yeah, I know. It really wasn't. It wasn't like everything is different now.
Yeah. Like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies were great movies.
Yeah.
This wasn't Batman.
Yeah. No. No.
This was pretty forgettable.
I don't actually remember anything about it except for a couple of scenes, but there was no. I like the ice cream part.
That was good.
That was good.
But you know, it's not a cure for cancer. Yeah. It's just a superhero movie.
All right. So speaking of art and our desire that it should be beautiful and entertaining, it's at least part of the time. One of our kids has started art school. She's just in her freshman year of art school. She's not only learning things, but discovering that she has things to learn, which is...
That's tough for her.
Well, the fact that she's a freshman and she's already figured that out is pretty good, because I know some people who go all the way through art school and it never even dawns on them that they don't already know everything. So I thought that was pretty encouraging that she was struggling a little bit. She's like, I used to know how to shade, and it turns out I don't actually know how to shade. I felt bad for her. Like, well, that's why we're paying them all that money.
Yeah.
But she apparently, you know, first couple of days of school, she's got a lot of good technical classes, but then she also has some, art theory classes, I suppose.
I believe they're humanities classes.
Yeah.
The theory of
not what we're familiar with as humanities, I don't think.
I believe her first humanities class is on activism. They had and they're all PowerPoint presentations. And the one that really set her off was the PowerPoint presentation on Fuck the Police by NWA. And
yeah, that's sort of unfortunate because they are right in the middle of the city. And the last I heard, they actually would very much like the police to be on their side.
They last week, I didn't tell you this, they actually had to have a lockdown because some idiot.
No, she told me.
Oh, yeah. There was a lockdown because some idiot was running around with a gun in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for the police,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't look great on a PowerPoint, I guess. Well, anyway, it was gratifying to know that she thought it was ridiculous that art is there to, you know, shock and dismay and puzzle you.
Oh, right.
Apparently, I've given many a rant about this very topic over the years, and apparently,
I would say she's internalized it.
She's internalized it. Okay. Well, I don't feel bad about that, actually.
No, she was. I get these text messages from her from class. It's like, this is bullshit. By the way, when our kids go off to college, they suddenly feel totally free to cuss.
Yeah. I was not actually completely 100% prepared for that, but then yeah. I was like, well, what can I say? I mean, they're all the ones who are taking the loans out. I'm not actually paying
I know. They can cuss if they want to.
But, I bought some Nutella and I put it in a care package, but the package. Tell them about the
Well, all right, well, first of all,
she needed some, like, pen nibs or something.
First of all, we have two daughters in college for the first time. One is about an hour away from where we live and about 20 minutes from where I work. The other is in a couple states away. So I just keep ending up going to see the kid in state.
Well, you know, she's right there.
She's right there.
I mean, she's not that close to you, like
she's a little, you know, she's a little shaky socially, and I didn't want to, like, you know,
anyway,
miss her. She's homesick, and we miss her. And
yeah. Anyway, so I resolved last week,
I'm not going to go up.
Right,
she's not
going to come for the weekend.
Sink or swim this week, right?
Right, and she'll
make some friends.
She's doing great. She's making friends. She's going out. She's going to poetry slams and coffee houses and whatnot.
Yeah, making fun of the hippies.
Making fun of the hippies, right. That's my girl. So anyway, but we had some things that needed to get to her. So I made up a package, and the little kids made messages for them and everything. And we put her favorite seaweed in there and all the stuff that she wanted. And
some cash.
And some cash. And she gave me the address. And it looked a little weird to me. So I asked her if it was the right address. She says yes. So I bring it to the post office. And the post office thought it was a little bit weird too, and then they corrected the zip code, and they still thought it was a little bit weird, but they insisted that it would be fine, and they sent it off. So I'm tracking the stupid thing, and it turns out that's not the right address. So guess what? So Damien has to drive to the post office and pick up the package.
Well,
I have to go pick her up.
Yeah, we had to go before the post office closed because she's got to show up with her ID, and so we go, and it's not a real post office. It's one of those, like,
it was like a satellite
postal depot.
Right.
And there's this really, we get to the desk and, like, we're here to pick up a package. It was on delivers. Like, oh, you're going to be trouble. Get to the back of the line.
Oh my gosh.
Just, like, totally rude. And we're like, wow, what an asshole. And we explain the situation, and he's like, well, it's going to take me forever. So let me just see. And he walks two steps, like, oh, here it is. Because you had already called.
Because I had called ahead and told them to set it aside. Be that as it may. Yeah, well, so anyway, I don't think this is technically failure to launch. I think this is failure of us to let her launch at this point.
but we're not seeing her this week.
And we haven't driven to the kid who lives 8 hours away also.
But we talk to her a lot.
Yes, we do.
We send her
cash, like our
too.
Kids. What are you going to do? All right, and I feel like I should note that it was actually their cash that we...
Well, it's a long...
It's a long story. It wasn't
but,
quite...
On the way back from the post office the other day, I'm driving around and I see the Siberia Marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, it's this little Russian marketplace. And they have food from Russia, like dried fish snacks and sprats and tomato sauce, which I didn't even know that was, I don't even know what that is.
Sprats.
And I don't know what anything is because all of the labels are in bloody Russian and I don't know what any of it says.
Oh, it's not even in, I mean, it's a whole Cyrillic alphabet.
Yeah.
It's not,
so
yeah.
I can't really
sound it out.
So I got you some pickles.
I like the pickles.
They were good.
We had them. And you also got me some strange, like, meringue puff things.
Yes.
Got a blinding headache.
I'm sorry.
I should have known. It's just pure Siberian sugar. I don't know what it was.
And a package of pumpkin seeds with this old babushka on the cover.
Yes, Corey and I had the pumpkin seeds. Yeah. That's what she had for lunch. She just
I don't know if she ate anything today.
She's on some kind of strange diet. I don't know. She's on the West Beach diet or something.
She's obviously eating
something. Yeah, no, she's nice and plump, but anyway. Okay, so our other daughter, okay, so that's the one who's in art school. Our other daughter is at a Catholic college, I'll tell you, first we were going to homeschool. I was going to have a homeschool classical education. That was our original plan. And I was like, you know what, maybe we'll just have a regular homeschool. I was like, you know what, maybe we'll just send them to school. And then I was like, you know what? We'll just send them to public school. And I kept on pushing and pushing and pushing theology away. And we never got around to really digging into theology the way that I wanted to. So this kid goes to a Catholic school and she signs up for a mandatory theology class. I'm like, yes, finally. So I'm like, hey, how's theology going? What are you guys reading? And she says, John Updike.
What is that horse shit?
People, that school is even more expensive than the other one. I don't know what's going on.
John Updike? He's not even Catholic.
He's barely even human.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
it's just wangs all the way down with that guy. He's not even a very good writer. He could be if he would get over himself, but he doesn't.
Who are the other writers on the syllabus?
I don't know. Andrew Greeley, perhaps. He could do the...
get one of those, you know, sexy novels that he wrote.
Yeah, steamy theology.
Steamy theology. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Boy,
the empty of the body.
Oh, my gosh.
Kind of thing, I guess. I've never actually read anything by Andrew Greeley, but... No, I guess no.
Oh. Who else? I think Kitty Kelly would be appropriate.
Kitty Kelly.
Her biography of the royal family is quite moving.
Is it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
I didn't, not that I read it.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I bet you know. Matthew Kelly. Okay, all right.
Is he even Catholic?
Well, you know, a lot of people are Catholic. A lot of people are Catholic because that's a feature, not a bug. And I did hear somebody say that she had been fallen away from the church and came across a Matthew Kelly book and was drawn back to the church.
So she could throw the book at the church?
Take it! Take your stupid book!
Oh, my goodness. Because we had a pastor who used to, like, read passages from Matthew Kelly for a sermon.
I was
embarrassed for everybody.
It was so painful, and it just went on and on, and I don't know.
It's like to make friends and influence people.
Yeah, it was like Catholicism, the bathroom book. It was like, it was like tear off calendar level theology.
Hey, some of those calendars have some good stuff on there.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they certainly took out a lot of student loans, I'll tell you that.
Holy cow, John Updike. Was Mickey Spillane available?
But that Mickey Spillane sure can write.
He sure can write. I have a terrible confession to make. For years, I've been making that joke. That Mickey Spillane sure can write.
Yeah.
And that comes from that movie Marty with Ernest Borgnine.
I have never actually seen that movie.
I made you watch Marty once. Maybe. It's about this lonely butcher, and he's hanging out with his degenerate friends all the time. Anyway, one of his friends is always saying, boy, that Mickey Spillane sure can write. We were at a library book sale,
yep,
and they had a whole stack of Mickey Spillane books. I thought, well, I'll get one and read it, see what the deal is.
Find out if he can write.
Every stinking cover had a picture of a naked woman's ass. Every one.
Oh.
I couldn't bring that home.
Okay, but you know what you could have done? My poor niece Anna, who has a little toddler, apparently picked up a copy at a book sale or something of Mickey and the Night Kitchen by Maurice Sendak, which has the very scandalous naked little boy floating around in the air in the middle of the night. And somebody had gone to the trouble of cutting out little paper underwear and pasting it on every single Mickey in the kitchen.
That's serious attention to detail. I know of someone. Traditionalist Catholic teenager who was lent a fine arts book for an art class. And when it was returned, there were those, you know, those little star stickers your teacher would put on your paper on all the naughty bits.
That's so insane. I hope that both of my children, the one at the Catholic college and the one at the art college, both at some point have a discussion about the difference between naked and nude, because it's a really important distinction and nobody knows.
They can save that for after their marriage, can't they?
Oh, sure. I'm not going to tell them.
No.
Oh, I don't know. I had this whole theory worked out about what people should be learning in art school and what art is for and stuff. And I'm too tired. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to talk about Werner Herzog?
Does anyone ever want to talk about Werner Herzog?
I think he's exhausted by
Werner Herzog.
I would be.
It's hard being him.
You know, there's somebody on Twitter named Werner Twertzong. And I don't know what that means.
Gosh, that's brilliant. I wish I had thought of that.
Is it brilliant? I don't know. I feel like all of Twitter is just somebody's fever dream.
Can I just say, I think Werner Herzog would actually love Werner Twertzong.
Probably. All right. I guess that's all I have to say about that. I have one more. Oh, you know what? I completely forgot to get a poem for this. Well, in lieu of a poem, I'm going to have to tell you instead something about my grandmother, my father's mother.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay. Anna Olshansky from the old country, from Lithuania or what have you.
You don't even know where you're from.
No, it's not that. It's that every 8 to 10 years, the borders would change. So they didn't even know where they were from. Is it Russia? Is it Poland? Is it Lithuania? Is it the Ukraine? I don't know. I mean, they were in trouble wherever they went. So that's why they came here.
Well, I can imagine why.
Well, yeah. Well, she was like one. Come on. So anyway, my grandmother was quite a human being. She lived with us for a while when I was little, when I was about 6 or 7. I was terrified of her. Mean lady.
Was that
a mean
lady?
Liked
to watch hockey?
She liked to watch. No, it wasn't. Yeah. Okay. She liked to watch football.
Why?
Because
she
liked to watch football because they were all wearing such tight pants. She liked to watch them running around in their tight, shiny pants, which, okay, you know. And she liked to watch hockey. And every time they would bump into each other, she would go, "Hawk." She would watch the whole game that way. And they weren't even wearing tight pants. I don't know what the appeal was. But that was toward the end of her life. So anyway, when she was a younger woman, she was a milliner, in fact. She was a hat maker. And I remember she used to occasionally make us fancy, you know, things with tulle and net on them and little fabric roses and things. She was very, pretty gifted. So she belonged to this club that was called the Turtles. And if you were a member of the Turtle Club, you had a little, like a little golden lapel pin with a turtle on it. And the whole point of the club is that if you ever spotted somebody else who was wearing the pin, you would say, "Are you a turtle?" And if he didn't say, "You bet your sweet ass I am," then he would have to buy you a drink. And that was the entire point of the club.
Oh,
that's all it was. And the idea was that you were supposed to catch somebody in a situation where they wouldn't actually want to say, "You bet your sweet ass I am." Which my grandmother was always up for saying that, believe me. So I don't know. This is what I heard. This is what she said. I feel like I have a memory of seeing the actual turtle pin, but it's possible she just made it up, because she would certainly make up something like that.
Hawk.
I don't know. Does that have a certain poetry to it, Damien?
It's something.
Do you have a poem?
Do I ever?
Do you have a limerick?
No.
Do you know a girl from Nantucket?
You know, I don't think that's an appropriate...
All right.
It's a racist thing to say.
It's racist. Hawk.
Hawk.